You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What's really amazing is they're hitting him because he was allowing dissenting voices on the virus and the treatment. Many of the things that people were tagged or canceled for just last year are now being embraced as plausible, reasonable, even clearly true. Things like that cloth masks are not effective barriers against the virus, that people can still pass the virus if they're vaccinated, the origins of lab theory. All those things are now being discussed in the mainstream media, when just last year you were a pariah if you even mentioned them.
February the 4th, 2022, you are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube, we're live streaming. Jonathan Turner, constitutional law professor, at this part, saying about all these efforts to shut down and censor by the left, Joe Rogan, it's just an effort to, again, control free speech. We're going to get into a lot of that over the next hour and the next hour. In fact, much of today's program will deal with free speech. So keep a box of tissues handy. You might need them for your tears over how we expose what they've been doing and how CNN continues to just self-destruct. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry to tell you that. So keep your box of tissues nearby, will you? And, of course, remember they've been trying to kill the Joe Rogan podcast on Spotify because they said he was putting out disinformation about COVID. Even the White House got involved. And a lot of what he was doing is telling what now is being taken as a matter of fact. And in fact, to that extent, how much of the state-controlled media was carrying the story that we had for you yesterday, Johns Hopkins University saying all those early lockdown restrictions, not any good, didn't do any value, in fact, should be removed as pandemic protocol. Did you see that on all the state-controlled media? I'll answer it for you. No, you didn't. Jonathan Butcher is going to join us also. He wrote a Washington Times column on how the teachers' unions are trying to censor any stories regarding critical race theory being taught in your schools. And Olympic coverage, of course, is underway as of last night. NBC The Peacock and Pelosi issuing, the House Speaker issuing a warning to our Americans participating in the games. This world is wacko. Biden goes to New York City to address rising crime, aims at the wrong target, and then fires blanks. And then again, as I mentioned, in the midst of all of this, we're going to spend a lot of time about censorship. Maybe some of it comes with engineering technical gremlins getting into my equipment here and trying to censor this program. It ain't going to work, and you're not going to stop us because we are going to be continuing to bring you this program. I want to thank all of those of you who listen, those of you who are watching on Larry Connors USA live streaming YouTube, Larry Connors USA YouTube, and also remind you, the purpose of the program here is to really unite our country. I'm pushing to unite, find the things that we can agree upon. The main focus of this program is not conservative, independent, certainly not liberal, and certainly not progressive, but it is patriotic. I don't care what your political stripes are, if you're patriotic for this country, this program is for you. We do have a lot to cover. Let your family and friends know we are on the air. You do not want to miss it. And as Andrew Boots on the Ground pointed out yesterday, I failed to mention what I'm going to say now. Ready on the right. Lock and load, ready on the right.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Take that girl.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Russians are likely to want to fabricate a pretext for an invasion. One option is the Russian government, we think, is planning to stage a fake attack by Ukrainian military or intelligence forces against Russian sovereign territory or against Russian-speaking people to therefore justify their action.
Do you have physical evidence of, of that fabrication that you're talking about?
Well, I don't know that there's been a video produced yet, Bill, if that's what you mean, but we certainly have intelligence that indicates that this is something they're thinking about doing. I don't know that they've actually created it yet, but we know that they're thinking about doing it. And that's just one of other things that we know they're trying to do to create a pretext for an invasion.
That is John Kirby, Pentagon spokesman. It began with him making a statement that the Russians are trying to start trouble by creating a fake invasion by Ukraine against Russia or against Russian citizens. And when he was asked by Fox News, do you have any evidence of that? You're just saying it? Well, we can't really get into all the details about it, but we know they're doing it. We know they're doing it. We'll come back to John Kirby on that in a moment. The latest from Ukraine at this point is that the standoff continues. There is so far still no change on Russia's side. Troops are still amassed at this point around the area, and we continue yet to have the reaction from the White House in trying to say that, well, what's really going on here is that Russia is just trying to provoke all of this. And they say we're not going to back down and say we're ready to impose sanctions. We've had this discussion before. Is this the way to be dealing with Russia? Now, again, I am not for boots on the ground in Ukraine. I'm not for putting our troops at risk to defend the Ukrainian border. Russia looks at Ukraine as part of its old USSR and wants it back. Putin does. And that does not want, Putin does not want Ukraine to become a NATO member, and has told NATO members do not vote to make them a member. Well, Russia has no dominance over how NATO votes, but the bottom line is it wouldn't make any difference if Russia's going to do what it's going to anyway. And yet, what I continue to hear from so many Democrats, we got to be really concerned about Ukraine and the Ukraine people. I am concerned. I'm concerned. And I'm glad to hear you're concerned on the Democrat side. You're suddenly concerned about border security. You know we have a north and south border to this country attached to other lands, like in the north to Canada. And Canada put in strict restrictions on the northern border, especially for truckers. If you're going to come into Canada, you had to show proof of vaccination. That's right, had to show the proof. Down south, southern border, coming across illegal, we don't care. We don't have a southern border. Call us annexed by Mexico or anyone else that wants to come across. But back to John Kirby as he's trying to make the case that, look, we know the Russians are plotting all of this and we're wiser than they are. He didn't say that. I did. And if he did say it, I'd immediately laugh, just as I did. But let's let you hear directly from the secretary, the press secretary for the Pentagon, John Kirby.
They have been long in the public sphere calling out Ukraine as the aggressor, calling out the West for arming Ukraine, telling people that their national security is threatened when they're the ones with over 100,000 troops on the other side of that border. And it's a group that keeps mounting every day. So, look, we just want to make it clear that we know what they're up to. And you know who else knows that this intelligence is accurate? The Russians know. They know it.
Yeah, they know it. Kirby had also suggested at one point that Russia was preparing to create a video of Ukrainian or Western atrocities against Russians, including actors and corpses, which would then be used to justify part of this invasion into Ukraine. And the Associated Press is even, the Associated Press actually doing its job asking, can you verify this? You've shown us no evidence. What is there? Where's the evidence? Crisis actors? Really? Said this is Alex Jones territory you're getting into. That's what the AP reporter said. That's reference to Alex Jones, that Alex Jones claimed that children killed in that school shooting were really crisis actors, which obviously is wrong. That shooting that he's referring to did happen. All right, but we're dealing with this administration, and the administration is supposedly taking care of what's happening around Ukraine. And, of course, yesterday, word was released that we took out the ISIS leader. Another one will pop up. But that's good that we could do that. And President Biden was in New York City the day after the funeral for the second patrolman shot down and killed in Harlem. So the president goes into New York City where we've seen increasing, rising crime. Crime to the extent that the new mayor of New York City, who had been a police chief himself prior to becoming the mayor, said, I find it frightening to ride on the subway. He's the police chief. Now the mayor. So Biden goes to New York City and going to talk all about dealing. We're going to deal with all this rising crime rate. We're going to focus on it. I'll tell you right now what Biden did. He fired at the wrong target, and then he fired blanks on top of that. Let me give you an example. He began with gun control will solve it.
We want to crack down on the flow of firearms used to commit violence. That includes taking on and shutting down rogue gun dealers. It's about doing background checks. This doesn't violate anybody's Second Amendment right. There's no violation of a Second Amendment right. We talk like there's no amendment that's absolute. When the amendment was passed, it didn't say anybody can own a gun and any kind of gun and any kind of weapon.
They always go back to that kind of language. That's the only time they really refer to the Constitution as something viable. When it works for them, that's the only time they use the C word in a positive fashion. But that was a blank and the wrong target. It's not the guns carried by law-abiding citizens. It's the felons and the thugs. And, of course, the White House also issued a release yesterday saying we're going to launch new gun controls, a national ghost gun enforcement initiative. We'll train a group of prosecutors to disseminate investigators and prosecuting tools to bring cases against those who use so-called ghost guns to commit crimes. Ghost guns are those that are sold either by unlicensed dealers or in sometimes straw purchases where someone goes and legitimately can buy a gun. They're not a felon, but then they turn around knowingly selling it to a felon. There are all kinds of things of that nature that fall under that category. The bottom line is that's not our issue. Our issue is the progressive left and the platform that you and your VP and all the rest of the progressives were running on, defund police, defund police, how many times did we hear that drumbeat? Defund the police. Well, Biden is suddenly now trying to offer an apology for that and kind of turn it. Listen to this.
The answer is not to abandon our streets. That's not the answer. We're not about defunding. We're about funding and providing the additional services you need beyond someone with a gun strapped to their shoulder. I don't hear many communities, no matter what their color, their background, saying, I don't want more protection in my community. I don't know. I haven't found one of those yet.
Yeah, you haven't found one of those yet. You're not likely to, are you? You think the moderates are finally getting, maybe getting Biden back into their corner saying, this is not working. We already know that many of the blue cities and mayors that were all talking about, yeah, let's defund, have started giving money back to their police departments. And at the same time, the progressives are still yelling, when we say defund, we mean defund. And not just that, we want to have no bail, if any bail. They want to open up all the prisons, let everyone out, that will suddenly solve crime. I tell you what, the first one, AOC, the rest of you who believe that we should open up the jails, no bail, anything, you go down and you sign for them and say they can live with you and you be held accountable for them. You live with, have them live with you as long as you want, as long as you're alive, and they haven't taken everything else from you, and see how that plays out. You know how it's going to play out. They, when they really step up and say, we will take them. It's the same thing with the illegals coming across. When they start saying, we will take the illegals and we'll house them, bring them into our homes. We could, hell, they'd live better in your garage than what they've been living on some of the areas they've left. But you're not going to find them doing that. You're going to continue to hear them say, no, the base cause of crime is increasing crime. I want you to hear from former Boston Police Department Commissioner Davis. Now, Davis was talking about what you were hearing Biden refer to and how he was talking about we're not for defunding. And then, of course, the question about what about shutting down all the jails, releasing everyone, and that we really want to control crime by just remove the law from the books. Is that it? Open up the jails? Well, Ed Davis, former Boston police commissioner, said the base cause of increased crime, that doesn't do it.
The actual problem relates to the fact that we know that a small number of people commit a large number of the crimes. And right now, the police have been painted as the bad guys, and the people who are committing assaults and murders are being given sympathy by the community and people making decisions. And that's putting in the mind of the criminal this idea that they can get away with things. We have to address that first.
Yeah. They know they can get away with it because they've got prosecutors that won't prosecute crimes. But certainly, like in California, if you steal anything, you can walk right into any of the stores, pick up anything you want, walk right back out. As long as it's less than $1,000, they're not going to prosecute you. And if they do arrest you, they're going to let you out with either no bail or little bail, because that's the other part of this progressive approach to solving crime. Don't incarcerate people. Just, what, you give them second, third, 24, 900, 200,000 opportunities to commit crimes and let them go again. That doesn't work either. In fact, VP Harris was all part of that. And as a candidate, she was funding at that time some of these groups that were trying to set up bail for any defendants that might be accused of any crimes. Actually, they were aiming originally at those protesting and arrested during George Floyd's death protest, but they weren't protesting. They had turned violent. Their First Amendment rights ended the moment they started throwing Molotov cocktails and causing trouble and attacking police. First Amendment ends at that point. But VP Harris, along with the others, were saying little or no bail is what we need. Listen to the response of former Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis.
Keeping violent criminals away from the community is what the job of the criminal justice system is. And if we're saying that everyone should be released immediately, we are going to increase crime, increase murder in the communities. And politically, it's a foolish statement to make that claim, because you really do basically have to pay attention to what's going to happen as a result of your actions. When the vice president says release all of these people, they will be on the street and more people will be killed and assaulted, and that's going to come back to haunt them.
What is it they don't get? We've got, I'm looking at the time here. Right now we've got another minute to go in this segment. And I want to take this last minute to remind you of something. We have so many issues to deal with in this country right now. And, of course, we have to be concerned about what's happening around the world, as well we should be. We don't want to become the nation's policeman again. That's why I'm not for going into Ukraine with boots. And I really question everything the Biden administration is doing. They're not doing enough, and I'm worried about how China and Hong Kong are watching. And then we have our own crime problem inside this country, and we've got people inside this country that don't want to enforce the laws we have. I'm not talking to you now just even about the southern border. They don't want to enforce that. They don't want to enforce anything. But more importantly, they want to demonize police. Got a perfect example coming up.
The story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Used them all, got overdrive.
So when we do not respect our police because some cops should not be wearing a badge, we know that. But the paintbrush swaths over all of the men and women in blue or whatever the color of the uniform is that they wear for law enforcement in their area. And, of course, we had these two officers gunned down in Harlem the other day, massive funerals, one of them last week, then one Tuesday. Or rather Wednesday, for the second one. And the next day, President Biden shows up to talk to the mayor who used to be a police chief. Like, I'm going to come in here and solve all the crime issues, and I'm sorry for your loss. I'm not going to take away any sentiment he might actually have. He might actually be sorry. I'm sure he is. But if he's really sorry, he should be calling out members of his own party and the so-called elite who continue to condemn police without caring what the facts are. Perfect example here, actress Susan Sarandon. Thelma and Louise, you might remember from that. She's also been doing some others. She put out anti-cop Twitter post. Now, you think Twitter would take that down, don't you think? No. No, they're going to let the anti-cop statement stay up. Comparing the officers gathered for the first funeral of the Harlem police, of the police officer killed in Harlem, as fascist, calling them fascist. The image was posted the night before the funeral for the second officer who had been killed. The Police Benevolent Association of the City of New York tweeted out, "This is what privilege looks like. A wealthy actress safe in her bubble, mocking heroes, making light of the crisis that cops are battling alongside our communities." The National Fraternal Order of Police slammed Susan Sarandon as a D-list actor, calling her remarks inflammatory. Of all the days for her to share her true feelings towards police, she picks the day we bury our fallen brother to make such inflammatory and brainless comments. Question then from one of the Police Benevolent Association. Why do you spend more time hating on cops than you do on your own careers? No wonder you're a D-list actor. She can be a good actor. I've seen she can be a good actor, actress. But she puts out this thing and it says, so if all these cops weren't needed for crime that day, that doesn't mean they aren't needed any day. She's talking about all the officers that showed up, not only from the New York area, but around the nation and some from around the world that came to march in that line down Fifth Avenue. She pointed out there are 35,000 New York PD cops in New York City. This is 3 hours that this took. Many off-duty other agencies representing over 850,000 sworn law enforcement officers in this country. And some of the others referring to the National Fraternal Order, police was pointing that out and saying, shame on you, two Dominican cops killed and you spread anti-police rhetoric. You're a disgusting person. The retired homicide detective said, you seriously need help. Let's hope you never need us. See, this is where Biden could be saying something strong, but he's not going to. No, not going to. Coming up, the censorship to keep you from learning about CRT. Stand by.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on education, and also something that we want to make sure you're aware of. As I told you in the beginning today, most of today's program is going to deal a lot with censorship. Jonathan Butcher printed a piece in the Washington Times the other day, just now having time that we can spend on it, but I didn't want to pass it up. It's his opinion that basically the teachers' unions are pressuring social media companies to reconsider any posts that oppose critical race theory, and that, by assume, also would mean any such, quote, news coverage. Jonathan Butcher, glad to have you back on board again, sir.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So we've got the tech companies at the teachers' union, according to your opinion piece, is that they're going after them. That, and when they do that, they're going after every other medium they can to fall in line. Don't tell us, don't tell the parents about CRT being taught, and just accept our story that we're not doing it. Is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, look, the issue is that you have parents who are very concerned about what's happening in their child's classroom, and they are concerned about what's going on with draconian COVID-related measurements to what's being measures to what's being taught in terms of racial discrimination with the application of critical race theory. And the interest groups, such as the National School Boards Association, as well as teacher unions like the NEA, have either passed resolutions or otherwise asked public officials who are sympathetic to their causes to intervene on their behalf and essentially either dismiss or intimidate parents.
And the problem is, when you talk about dismiss or intimidate, when a letter is sent in by the National Association of School Boards, which many schools have since abandoned, and even the board itself has turned on, letters to the White House basically asking for how do we help deal with this, and then they get words on how to write a letter to the Attorney General to maybe we should label these parents as terrorists. It's just another effort of censorship and controlling what the students are being taught with or without their parents' knowledge.
And that's exactly what's going on. And I think that what the NEA passed at their annual meeting in the summer was a statement, right? Summer of 2021 was a statement saying that they would make sure that critical race theory is still taught in the classroom. And we've seen school districts do this too. There's a school district just across the bay from San Francisco, Haywood Unified, that has a message on their website that says that they will continue to teach critical race theory. We've seen the ideas from Loudoun County to teacher training programs in North Carolina to schools in Illinois. Much of this I outline in my book, Splintered Critical Race Theory and the Progressive War on Truth, which will be out there at the end of May, at end of March, excuse me.
Okay, I wondered about that. I was going to bring that up. The book, again, is Splintered Critical Race Theory and the Progressive War on Truth. You say it is going to be available in this next month in March. You also point out in this column that you wrote for Washington Times about how invasive the CRT is. It's got to be linked to everything. Talking you about math standards in California, that math should be taught, quote, with a focus on equity. What the hell is that?
So this isn't the first time. There was actually a private math curriculum that was developed by – it was funded actually by the Gates Foundation and then developed by some school boards school district officials in Los Angeles, San Diego, really across California, called Equitable Math. And it's that was being used by many districts across California. And then the State Department of Education changed their whole state standards when it came to math to focus on what you just described, this conversation about equity, which doesn't mean what it sounds like, right?
I don't know what it means. I don't know, but it scares the hell out of me when you start saying math has to be tied to race.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is part of the American experiment that we are equal under the law. But to say that we should all receive equitable treatment or receive equitable outcomes, the only way that you can provide equitable outcomes is if a top-down government forces that on everyone, right? That involves taking some things away from some people and giving some things to others. And that kind of manipulation happens really in you know, totalitarian systems, and that's not what we want.
You point out that some of the activists, critical race theorists, you name a couple of them, and talking about what their remarks were in 2001 on what they said about critical race theory. Would you share that?
Well, I mean, there are a couple of things to keep in mind that critical race theorists have used to describe the theory, and this comes from their own writings, right? They'll say first that it has an activist dimension and that critical race theory is meant to be applied. So it's not just a theory. It's not just a worldview. This is a set of behaviors that they want practiced. And so when they talk about mandatory affinity groups where students receive different instruction based on the color of their skin, that is the application of critical race theory. The same thing when you say that individuals should acknowledge that they have certain privileges and that they are guilty of oppression because of the color of their skin. That sort of affirmation and compelled speech, that is also something that is the application of critical race theory.
And all of those pushing CRT, what is their response when minority groups, those of a black or brown or yellow skin, say, I'm not being held back because of race, and I don't buy into that. Math is math. And, you know, we can talk about slave history and deal with that as well, but that has nothing to do with math and science and things of this nature. What do the CRT activists say when they're confronted by the very people they say, oh, we're doing this to protect you and take care of you?
Well, one of the most famous comments on that and writers on that is Ibram Kendi, who has said that you can't just be opposed to racism, you have to be anti-racist,
right,
which means that you're not just opposed to these things, but you condemn and seek out, you condemn those that are doing it and seek out where they are doing it so that you're always have your radar going because racism is all around you. It's always present.
Oh, but wait. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to correct you. And you're a learned scholar, but according to Whoopi Goldberg, the Holocaust was not a race issue. Right?
So there's clearly, I think, some consistency problems
yeah.
when it comes to the messaging that is going on with the whole theory. But I mean, look, the scholar who's or the law professor scholar who is known as the godfather of critical race theory, Derek Bell, wrote a book called Faces at the Bottom of the Well, and his subtitle was The Permanence of Racism. And he believed and he wrote that racism would always be a part of America. That's where this concept of systemic racism comes from, and that is goes hand in hand with the idea that the whole system of laws and representative government must be dismantled and then changed to fit the criteria that these anti-racists have in mind.
I do know what these anti-racists do in response if it's a black politician who has an R behind their name, or if it's a police officer who is black or yellow or Dominican and is serving law and order, not crime. I do know that they mock them and basically say they're sellouts and they don't understand that they are the ones who are lost, not those pushing CRT, but those who of that color don't get the idea that they are victims and all whites should be feeling guilty for everything.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, the whole point, I think, of the success of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the success of the Civil Rights Movement was a recommitment to American ideals that we are all equal under the law, that we should be treated with equality under the law, that we are all created with the same equal rights, and that it's government's job to protect those rights, regardless of the color of your skin. And the thing that I think is missed so often today in discussions about this is that when we see something that is racist or discriminatory in public life today, it's immediately condemned, right? We know, I mean, Americans are aware that this is a part of our culture that we must always be ready to say this is wrong when it happens and we should condemn it. The anti-racists say, no, the very presence of it, or the very fact that we still have these things happening, means that we are systemically racist. And I disagree. That is, these individual incidences should be condemned, and they're simply evidence of a fallen world. And we should be ready to protect those who are actually threatened by such behavior.
Amen. I'd say amen to that. The last 30 seconds for you. You point out that lawmakers in Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, all considering proposals to say no teacher nor student shall be compelled to teach, but we know the colleges are still doing it. In the last 30 seconds, what can we do to put an end to it?
Well, I think that language is specifically tailored to deal with prohibitions on compelled speech, and that is what critical race theory is, right? It is meant to be applied, so we need to block that compelled speech.
All right. I want to thank you again. You've been listening to Jonathan Butcher. He's with Heritage Foundation. The book, Splintered Critical Race Theory, and the Progressive War on Truth, is coming out next month. Jonathan, thank you again for your time, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. So when we continue, as I said, the next hour we're going to spend a lot of time on censorship. But also coming up, there is some good news on the economy. I'm going to accept that, but watch how Biden rushes in and carrying a flag of victory that he claims this is.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, I'm going to give you the news of this story, and then I'm also going to add some additional facts, and then I'm going to show you what you already know when you lift up the stone, what you find under it. The story is that we have had some great Labor Department numbers coming out. The Labor Department said today in its monthly payroll report that payrolls in January rose by 467,000, up 467,000. The unemployment rate, which is calculated based on separate survey, still ticked up to about 4%. A lot of that has to do with the labor force participation climbing, the highest it has been since Feb 2020, when the pandemic really began to take some hold. But here comes Biden. Here comes Biden striding in on the white horse. He's the white knight. Can I use that word without being racist? He is white, right? Okay, I made it up, the white horse. Maybe it's a black horse, whatever. He comes in and says, this morning's report caps off my first year as president. And over that period, our economy created 6.6 million jobs. 6.6 million jobs. You can't remember another year when so many people went to work in this country. There's a reason. It's never happened. There's a reason that so many were out of work, and that's because of COVID. He didn't bother mention that, didn't he? He said he was going to get under control. Well, the CDC is also helping with that. They're saying it's down all across the nation. It's actually hospital deaths are down and beginning to plateau, at least. We actually have flattened the curve, which we originally were going to, supposedly. And, of course, Biden's going to claim all that success. And it's happening every state except for one. One state. I'll give you a moment to think, which state would that be? Well, I'll go back to these numbers that the president is so proud of. He said, our country is taking everything COVID has thrown at us We've come back stronger. America's job machine is growing stronger than ever, fueling a strong recovery, opportunity for hardworking women, men across this great country, and all illegals that want to come in. We got no, I'm sorry, he didn't say that part. I diverted what his real storyline is, and that is a lot of illegals are coming in. They're going to take a lot of these jobs at a lot lower pay than the American worker. It's not going to help the American union worker. We're still short at last check, 60 to 80,000 truck drivers. Now, you can't just be an illegal and drive a truck. You're going to have some training. You can still be an illegal, though, apparently, obviously. But all of this going on, he's bragging all about the COVID, and they are plateauing in every state except one. Have you figured out which state? Let me see. Let's go by alphabet. What's the first letter in the alphabet? Help me out here. It's been a while since I've had to recite the alphabet. Normally I had to recite it backwards while standing still and not swerving. No, I'm only joking. First letter of the alphabet, A. First state with it begins with an A. Oh, let me see. I'm having a hard time with that part. It'd take me forever to go just through the A list of states, I guess. Why don't I just tell you? Kind of like Kramer on that Seinfeld episode where folks are calling what they think is the movie line to find out what movie is playing when or what's showing at the theater. And he'll say, just punch one on your phone. And, of course, they punch a number, and he doesn't still know what number they punched. Did you punch one, two, three, or four? So he, which movie did you want to see? Just punch on your phone. Why don't you just tell me which movie you want to see? In other words, I'll just tell you. The one state is Alabama. The first reaction for many is, well, of course, it's a red state, one of those states. The second thought that should come to mind is Alabama has a large black population, obviously, and many blacks still are not comfortable with the government and the COVID vaccines. I don't know the details of why Alabama apparently is the one. I'm sure they'll be giving it to us as we move forward. But what we're getting for the most part at this point is that everything that is going on right now that is good, you have to give. I'll stress again, you have to give the credit to Biden. Oh, I know we still have massive shop looting across various parts of the country where they just let them walk out. I know we have homeless all over the streets and heroin needles and other drugs spread everywhere. I know we have an open border, fentanyl coming across at record amounts, and we had a number of COVID, opioid deaths last year, approaching 100,000 or more, actually. More dying between the ages of 18 and 45 of opioid poisoning, drug overdosing than COVID, car wrecks, or anything else. I also know that we have many in our country, children that are still traumatized by being locked down as they were when the CDC insisted and everybody else was insisting it had to be done. And if you dared speak out, you were slandered. And I also know that Johns Hopkins University study says those lockdowns, they were ineffective, didn't do anything, and in fact, they should be dropped as a protocol going forward. But you're not going to hear that on the state-controlled media. Let Biden have his run around the lap, carrying the flag for the labor thing for today. Don't look at all the shootings and the crimes and violence. Put all that stuff away. That's what he would like you to do. Not on this program. Don't miss the second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.